Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to Devil Indemnity, the podcast, where we discuss and review new movie releases.
Movies that are new yes. and are released.
Mm-hmm. My name is Emily Klaser.
My name is Jonathan Pyle. Sorry, Beans is distracting.
Yeah, of course, our dog is instantly distracting us. Okay, so... Oh, she's on the computer cord. So... Introductions. Be prepared for lots of spoilers. We're going to talk about the whole movie, basically. And remember to follow us on Letterboxd to leave comments on the next movie we're going to talk about. DI_podcast. Did anybody do that?
I don't think so. Do you not have your notifications turned on for Letterboxd?
I don't know.
We should turn those on. Because it takes me a minute to get to where I need to go to find it.
You know what? I never know. Maybe you should just make it a part of the routine, you know, to go check it.
That's probably a good idea.
Because I never know.
Let's see.
Cool beans. So, yeah, those are my intros. Those are getting faster and faster every time. I must be maybe getting better at this.
Maybe.
Maybe. I highly doubt it, but... Okay, are you ready for the first segment of the episodio? What are we watching right now?
I'm watching Succession. I haven't watched it in like a week or so. And mm-hmm. I need to be.
If you want to know how I feel about Succession, you can just go watch our other past like couple episodes, and I go a little deep into how I don't really jive with it.
I jive with
the word jive. I never say the word jive.
That's true.
I feel like, does jive mean the same thing as like vibe? But
yeah,
like not, I feel like it's kind of different.
It's like on a lower level. Vibing is like, whoa. Jiving's like, okay.
Thank you so much for clarifying it. It all makes so much more sense now.
I'm just your walking dictionary.
We are also watching Designated Survivor right now. Complete soap opera, and it's fantastic.
It's not too bad, honestly.
I love it for how bad it is, but you know what? The plot twists, pretty good.
They are pretty good.
They really surprise you every time with the plot twist, so much appreciated. And then we also have already watched the movie for next week because we got really excited, but we're not going to say what it is yet because we got to keep it for the end of the podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the people entertained.
Got to keep the people on their toes.
You got to jive with them.
No, keep them on the edge of their seat. Keep the people on their toes. Okay, Jonathan, do you want to enter the movie for today?
Yeah, as we said in the last episode, the movie is Beau's Afraid.
Beau is afraid.
Of everything. Directed by Ari Aster. He is a unique individual. I will say that for sure. He did Hereditary and Midsommar. And then he's also done a lot of short films, one which is just insanely disturbing that I've seen like the first half of and didn't want to watch the rest.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You usually love the disturbing crap.
It was too much for me. It was like, ugh.
Ooh, what was it about?
You don't want to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, ew. Why does he like to do disturbing stuff?
I don't know. He must have had a really messed up childhood.
I get it. Like, directors want to like evoke emotion in their audience. But like, why would your emotion that you want to be like discussed?
It's very disturbing.
Oh,
as
I feel like that is just like
are.
The best word to describe his movies is like disturbing. Like that's yes. what he's going for is disturbing.
And he does a great job with it. Honestly, he's one
disturbing
of the,
people. Yeah.
Yeah. He's
he's really good at
one
it.
Of the three like new horror directors that are doing.
Oh, so
excellently.
You would
right
consider
now.
Him a horror director.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
I would have thought like a thriller. I guess it's not really a thriller. What would that be? A psychological thriller? No, I guess it is just horror.
This one was like a comedy.
This wasn't horrifying, though. I wouldn't call this a comedy. I guess there were some good jokes,
actually. It was
kind
of a comedy.
There were a couple good jokes. But not jokes that I would like laugh out loud. Like, no LOLs coming from me.
I laughed out loud a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you did, yeah.
Yeah. And it stars Joaquin Phoenix as Beau Wasserman. Wasserman?
He was Wasserman.
Wasserman. Patti LuPone as his mother, Mona Wasserman. Amy Ryan as Grace. She's in The Office. She's been in a lot of stuff. I haven't seen her in a long time.
I definitely recognized her.
Mm-hmm. Nathan Lane as Roger. and Zoe Lister-Jones as young Mona. Fawn Moscato, city council.
I loved that. I loved that she was in this.
It was very unexpected.
She just plays like super, like just egotistical very well. Like, yeah. I just wonder people who like play that really well, if that's actually how they are. Because, you know, they say some actors play themselves, like Tom Hanks, he plays himself, you know. Joaquin Phoenix hopefully doesn't play himself, but no. People who are so good at just one genre and that's all they play, like, I really wonder, is that what you're really like in real life?
I wonder that too.
She's great. She was wonderful.
She was great.
She was also great in New Girl.
Yes.
Us always finding a way to talk about New Girl on the podcast.
Yeah. We should do a New Girl review. The plot for the movie. Following the sudden death of his mother, a mild-mannered but anxiety-ridden man confronts his darkest fears as he embarks on an epic, Kafka-esque odyssey back home.
Kafka?
Kafka-esque.
What does that mean?
Like Metamorphosis, the book written by, I'm blanking on the name.
Kafka?
Something Kafka. Yeah, it's very like surreal and...
You don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah.
Basically everything. Yeah. I thought it was interesting for sure.
And somehow Ari Aster got the biggest budget ever for an A24 movie. $35 million.
How was it doing in the box office?
It's got 8.3 so far, which is pretty good.
Wait, what was the budget was what?
35.
And they got 8.3 million?
In the opening weekend.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I just feel like if you don't make your money back on opening weekend, what's the point in trying? You know?
So many movies would be just destroyed.
Do most movies make as much money as they spent on it?
Define most. Like,
as in, like, you know, the general moviness. When I say most, I mean most. The majority.
I can't really speak to, like, a percentage of... how many movies come out versus how many...
Jonathan's HR vibes coming in. Let me get back to you on that.
Let me do a quick analysis. I'll do a play-by-play, run down.
I'll do a little bit of an investigation.
Get all the witnesses.
Cite your sources, Jonathan.
Primary.
You got to get your receipts.
Secondary. Thirdly.
Tertiary. Nobody says thirdly. They say tertiary.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at me knowing words that you don't know. That's never happened before.
That's a first.
Unless it was a science word. And I guess I learned tertiary because of my engineering major. So I guess then it counts as a science word. So now I don't feel good about it anymore.
You shouldn't. This movie, what else was I going to say? It was originally titled Disappointment Boulevard, which I like that title a lot more.
I don't like either of them. First off, disappointed on this boulevard. That's what I gotta say. First off, I don't feel like Bo was necessarily afraid. I feel like Bo had crippling anxiety, and I don't know too much about like the, you know, scientific definition of anxiety, but I feel like I wouldn't say that like anxiety and fear are the same things, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I guess you can have anxieties about things that you're afraid of.
And Bo definitely did have that.
Yeah, I think he mostly just had crippling anxiety. I don't know. I didn't really like... I think the name Bo is Afraid is better than Disappointment Boulevard, because I would remember Bo is Afraid as a name, but like if you told me the movie Disappointment Boulevard, I wouldn't remember that in like 10 years.
Nope.
I think Bo is Afraid sticks with you more. I wonder if there was a reason they made his name Bo. Here's the thing about this movie, okay? Oh, wait, you know what? I'll wait. Until way after we give our reviews, before I get into a couple of the comments that I wanted to comment on.
Comments.
What would you review it, love?
I gave it, after lots of thought, I gave it 3.5.
Lots of thought. Wow, I'm surprised. I thought you would have given it like a 4.
I gave it 3.5.
Why? What was your original like instinct score?
At first it was like 3.
And you bumped it up?
Beans? No.
She's trying to chew on something she's not supposed to chew on.
Sorry, y'all. It's like I don't love the movie. I don't really want to watch it ever again, but it's super...
Really? I just assumed you would have loved it. It just seems like something that you would like.
But it's super well made, and he knows exactly what he's trying to achieve. I mean, there's like...
I think the emotional, like, aspect he's trying to get across and, like, the story, like, he succeeds.
He nails it.
He knows everybody's going to be confused by, like, the majority of the movie.
Yeah.
And, like, but yet he also wants you to be confused in, like, a very specific way. And, like, it works. Mm-hmm. Like, he did it pretty good, honestly.
It does.
I would give it a solid 2 stars.
That's what I was thinking you would give it.
Okay, because 1 star for the fact that you're right. It's very well made. It's very thought out. There's some pretty deep symbolism in it. The second star, just because I wouldn't call it a 1-starer. You know what I mean? Like, I still enjoyed it. Like, I didn't want to walk out of the movie.
True. Have you ever walked out of a movie?
Yes. I walked out of, gosh, what was it called? I think it was Hell or High Water.
Oh, you've told me that.
The bank robber movie.
That's one of my favorite.
It was
movies.
So boring. Like, if I'm in a movie, I couldn't focus the entire time on the movie.
Maybe it's just your mood.
My sister was the same way, though, because we were there with my parents, I think, and my sister and I both were like, this is the most boring movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And maybe she's watched it back later and, like, likes it now. I don't know her opinion now, but back then we were not having a good time. So we walked out and we walked into War Dogs, and I enjoyed War Dogs. It's a good story. It's a true story. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love Hell or High Water.
I literally thought it was the most boring thing ever. And maybe my brain just, you know, wasn't really tuned in that day or something.
True. That's a 5-star movie.
A 5-star movie?
For me, yeah.
I would consider that a 2-star movie. It has to be really bad for me to give you 1 star, you know?
Was Mother 1 star?
Mother is a 0-star movie. It's the worst movie ever. You really have to, like, do something to me to make me give you a 1 star. And
true.
You just have to be the movie Mother to be no stars.
Any other movies?
Oh, I can't name them off the top of my head. Oh, no. I'll let you know, though, as they come up.
Yeah.
Keep you
Think
informed.
Of them. Just but keep yeah. me in the loop. CC me.
CC. Oh, yeah, solid 2 stars, honestly. I really thought you were going to give it, like, a high score, like a 4.
No.
And that you were going to be mad at me for giving it a 2. Because no. Usually we don't agree.
That's true.
We
don't
normally agree.
Yeah.
We're just butting heads all the time.
Do we have anything?
Do we even have anything in common?
I don't think we do. Why are we doing this? Beans. What was I going to say? I lost my thought.
Well, we can get into some of the notes I had before we start talking about, like, the plot itself and what goes down. First things first, I'm the realist. Second things second. I don't know why. Every time I say first things, every time I say first things first, I gotta say that I'm the realist. I can't be the only person in the universe that has been heavily impacted by Iggy Azalea. For the rest of my life, I will do that.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I bet there's other people out there. Wouldn't be me, but...
I've
Other
never
people?
Heard
sure.
you say something like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Just not that kind of person.
Shut up. Okay, so a couple of notes I have. One thing that I was starting to touch on before is the fact that there is literally so much symbolism in this movie that there is no way to notice it all the first time that you watch it,
yeah.
Because you're just trying to actively understand the movie. So this, that, but that's the issue with it is like. It would probably be super deep and super, like, thoughtful to, like, actually watch the movie again and, like, really try to take in the symbolism. And maybe it would be more impactful and, like, more enjoyable. But it was honestly, like, just disturbing enough that, like, I agree with you. I never want to watch that movie again.
Yeah, I don't find myself coming to this movie on a Friday night saying, ah, let's just sit down and watch
Beau
is
Afraid. Yeah. And maybe that's because they do a really good job at, like, showing what anxiety feels like, because I feel like something I was kind of wondering the whole time is like, this is probably like, is this real or is this just like what it actively feels like to be suffering from like a severe mental illness, like
just everything's going wrong,
yeah,
and every person you encounter is you're somehow a threat and like disappointing them,
yeah, and like he lived on a street that was like super freaking dangerous, like terrifying. And he was scared to go outside and he was scared of the hoodlums and
Pretty
everybody was
LA.
Trying to attack him and kill him. And it was like just so unrealistic, but it was like, that is probably how he feels, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like they did a good job like showing like what the world looks like from the perspective of somebody with like severe anxiety. Now, I don't have severe anxiety. I say I have anxieties, like I get
very anxious very frequently, but I wouldn't say have anxiety, but like I can understand some of the like things he was feeling. Like I'm like, that is terrible, you know. I don't know, it was very overwhelming and scary, and they did a good job at like putting you in his shoes and seeing like how it could feel. And it's interesting to look at it that way and think like maybe that was just a normal street, you know, and this is just what it feels like to somebody.
Yeah they did a good job with that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I thought something interesting I just wanted to say, like, about the movie in its entirety is, like, I really liked how it focused on, like, the extreme view of, like, the difficulties of motherhood and feeling like an insufficient mother, as well as being, like, what would you say it, like, superimposed on top of a child feeling like they're not good enough for their mother. So it's like two people fighting this feeling of insecurity that they're not good enough for each other. And it's
they're
like,
they're just exacerbating the issue.
Yeah. They're just making it worse by both of them, like pushing each other away because of it. It's interesting. Like if maybe they had just like been a little more open and truthful with each other, like maybe their relationship wouldn't have been so constrained. Obviously, you know, it's complicated. Can't say for sure. I don't know them personally.
Yeah. I do like the timing of this, just releasing just near Mother's Day. It's perfect timing.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that. Do you think they did that on purpose? Releasing it right near Mother's Day?
Maybe, maybe not. I just think it's pretty ironic.
Yeah, it is ironic, honestly. It definitely is an interesting perspective on motherhood. And like they make his mom out to be this very mysterious figure, and you don't realize that she has been so crappy to him for the majority of the movie. You know, you just know that he's like kind of scared of her and doesn't want to see her.
Yeah.
And then right when he like finally meets her, you're like, damn. Because she's like, they do flashbacks to his childhood and she seems like a good mom.
Yeah, she seems pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go get in the plot. Are you ready to get in the plot? There
is
a lot of plot.
This is a long plot.
I would consider this to be a movie divided into chapters without having to tell you that it's divided into chapters, which I appreciate.
It highly is. Yeah.
I freaking hate it when movies are like chapter one and chapter two. I don't need that. This is not a book. Like just, we understand that there's different phases of the movie. You don't have to like throw it in our face.
You don't have to say it.
Yeah. I don't like movies with chapters. Obviously I like books with chapters because you know, it's nice to have little goals, big goals. If the whole book was just one chapter, that'd be really overwhelming. Yeah. So thank you, Wikipedia, for helping guide me through this plot, because there's no way I could have remembered everything that happened and written it in a cohesive manner without their guidance. So thank you. Sponsor me, Wikipedia.
Shout out, Wiki.
Wikipedia. So, Bo Wasserman is the son of a famous, super rich, super successful business lady named Mona. And he grows up with a single mother, and she basically tells him that his father died on the night of her and his wedding night because he had a heart murmur, and when they had sexual intercourse, the orgasm killed him and he died like while they were having sex. Which sounds like the worst thing in the world.
That's pretty rough.
But like statistically, that has to have happened to somebody.
That's like that movie.
This is not the first time this has happened in
Gerald's
a movie.
Gerald's Game?
I don't know, Gerald. Who's Gerald?
It's that movie. It's about like...
Gerald?
it's about Gerald and his game.
I know Molly's Game.
That's completely different.
Yeah.
But anyway, that happens in Gerald's Game.
Cool. I'm happy for Gerald. Does Gerald die?
Yeah.
While he's having sex?
Yeah.
Aw, poor guy.
It's rough.
Yeah.
And then the
Sounds
woman
like
is left
life.
There, chained to the bed, tries to survive.
She was chained to the... Why did you watch this?
I didn't watch this.
Was this the short film you were talking about?
It was a trailer. You got all this for the trailer.
Oh, you watch a lot of trailers, yeah.
I do.
That doesn't sound like a movie I want to watch.
Directed by Mike Flanagan.
I don't know
who
Mike is.
The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I kind of like those. Those are pretty good in like a mediocre way. Yeah, those are good. Those are bingeable shows. They give you just enough to keep you like hooked.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, please stop it with the monologues, man. Yeah. Him and his monologues. That's the one critique I have of what's his name?
Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan. All of his writing,
he does not develop his characters individually. They all speak and act in the same way. They all give the same kinds of monologues. Like, there's nothing original about it.
His monologues are pretty extended.
Yeah, I don't love them. Not a fan. Okay, moving on. Sorry, completely off topic. So she basically, Beau's mother, tells him that he has inherited this medical condition as well, and he cannot have sex or he will basically die. Which, you know, you believe it, you know, because that's freaking scary if somebody tells you that. And I feel like, you know, you find out later that basically it's not true. I'm going to spoil it. Okay. I told you I was going to spoil it. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? That is literally something his mother said to control him. That is terrifying. You literally tell your kid they're going to die if they do something. I get it. Like, it's a joke in the movies. Like, if you have sex, you'll get pregnant and die, you know?
Yeah, true.
But like, it's not actually, like, everybody knows it's just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just so terrible, like, and ridiculous. And then she treats him like he's a bad son, you know? But so basically, also a little bit more of the backstory, they at one point do some flashbacks into Beau when he was a kid. Why did you just scrolled on the computer away from what I was literally reading?
Beans is messing it up.
Yeah, Beans is like really antsy right now. So, and some also important background information before we get too deep is that when Beau was a kid, at some point during the movie, they flash back to this. When he was a kid, he went on a cruise with his mom. And this is how they introduce his mother when he was young. And all of the things that she was doing seemed caring and, like, loving. And, like, she seemed like a good mom. And I feel like that always happens in movies where the mothers are controlling. Like, when your kid is really young, like, being controlling is understanding because they're a kid and they don't know. And you're just telling them things to, like, you know, learn and survive. But then as the kid, like, as he grew up, his mother didn't change that. And she was, like, just controlling him ridiculously. But on said cruise, Beau falls in love with, like, another girl named Elaine. Like, she's just a little sassafras. You know what I'm saying? She's super sassy, super cute. And the two of them basically kiss and fall in love, and they promise to save their virginity for each other for when they're adults. And they're like 12, 13 maybe when this happens.
Yeah, probably around there.
Yeah. So that's the important backstory. He's got a crazy mom. He's going to die if he has sex. And he's in love with Elaine from his childhood that he only ever knew for like a day.
Yes.
Did you have something you wanted to add?
No, it's going to come up later. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So that's the important backstory. The movie actually starts with Beau, like, literally being birthed.
Yeah, at first I was like, what is going on?
I was so confused.
And then you kind of understand, like, okay, this is the point of view.
Literally, the second that happened, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to like this movie. Like, it was gross. Like, it was literally, like, they somehow made a way to film it looking like something was coming out of somebody's vagina.
Yeah.
It was not. I did not enjoy. I did not need. And basically, like, when he came out of the womb, he, like, wasn't breathing. And his mom was, like, terrified that he was going to die or something, which is understandable. So then they cut to Beau as an adult. He's super anxious. He lives by himself in, like, a really crappy apartment with, like, no furniture in a super dangerous city called Corina. Thank you, Wikipedia, for giving me that. I would not have remembered the city was called Corina, wherever that was. And so at this point in life, he's seeing a therapist that that prescribes him a super experimental drug to help with his anxiety. And he warns him that you can only take the medicine with water. And if you take the medicine without water, there are extreme side effects, but he doesn't tell you. And so that makes me wonder, like, if this whole movie, was it just him experiencing, like, the side effects of the drug? Like, he was on just, like, an extreme trip?
That's a good thought. I didn't think about that.
I was wondering that because, like, I know there are actually, like, real drugs in real life that, like, if you take them, like, I know there's, like, a sleeping pill that if you take it and if you don't actually go to sleep, like, if you force yourself to, like, stay awake, you'll go, like, you'll do crazy stuff. Like, you won't know what you're doing. You just go, like, berserk.
Ugh.
It's, like, kind of scary. That's so horrible. There's real stuff like that in real life. So basically, Beau is taking this new medication, and he's got a trip home to visit his mom in Wasserton, which is interesting because the town is literally named after his last name. So that kind of shows you how freaking rich and powerful his mom is. And so he's getting ready for the flight because they're celebrating the anniversary of her father's death, which is funny to me because instead of calling it their wedding anniversary, They call it the anniversary of their father's death.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Because instead of celebrating their father, she wants him to remember his father died from having sex and that you shouldn't have sex either.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. They don't call it their wedding anniversary. It's an anniversary of your father's death. That's crazy. But so basically the night before he's supposed to fly home, there's like a bunch of like really loud music being played in the apartment building he lives in. And people are like slipping notes under his door and like blaming it on him, even though he's not making the music. He's not playing music or anything. And I can highly relate to this. Just like if somebody blames you for something that you didn't do, and they like actively make you feel like trash about it, there is literally like, that is a really crappy feeling. Cause there's sometimes no way that you could defend yourself. It's like, well, that's what they think. That's what they're gonna think. There's really nothing you can do to change about it.
And
it makes you feel like utter trash. And you can tell, I feel like it was probably just like one note got slipped under his door, but then he like just like spiraled on it and like freaked out. And it was like very aggressiveness. So.
And the music was loud.
The music was very loud. So basically the next day, because of all the shenanigans within the night, Bo sleeps through his alarm and
he hesitates towards the floss and he's like, no, I don't need the floss.
Well, he was packing to leave, love. He was rushing to pack to leave. Mm-hmm. Now you can talk about the floss because he woke up really late.
And then he hesitates. He's like,
he's got everything. He's ready to go. He's like, I'm not sure if I want the floss.
No, I
want to
take it.
And just because of the floss, he literally puts himself on this entire terrible journey moving forward. Literally, like, none of this would have happened.
Let that be a lesson. Floss your
teeth.
Don't
pack floss. Or don't hesitate about the floss.
Yeah, pack the floss.
Pack the floss.
Don't even think
also,
about it.
Also, I think it's really interesting that, like, they chose something for him to forget. To like, that is going to make the entire movie basically happen. Like, that is the circumstance that sets it in motion.
This is just a giant ad for Listerine.
No. I thought it was interesting that they made it something so mundane that he could have just bought it at the store when he got there. Like, yeah. It was floss.
But his anxiety is like,
he needs that one.
He can't go to the store. Like, he has to have that one.
Yeah, you know? He needs that floss. So yeah, I thought it was interesting they chose to do that. But because of his packing frenzy and the fact that he decided last minute to go back for the floss, he left his luggage in the hall and somebody stole it along with his keys.
Very quickly, I might add.
Yeah, very quickly. And so Bo freaks out. His luggage stolen. He's supposed to be going to the airport. He doesn't have his keys. So he calls his mom and she's like, dude, I feel like you're just lying to me. And she's really disappointed in him.
Get out of not seeing me.
Yeah. He's just trying to like avoid her. And you don't know if it's true or not that his keys got stuck in the door or if his keys got stolen and his luggage got stolen or if it was really just him trying to get out of it.
An unreliable narrator.
What do you mean? Oh, because you can't. Well, that's the whole point of the movie. The entire point of the movie is that he's an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. In this moment of anxiety, Bo decides to take his experimental medication, but he doesn't have any water, so he has an anxiety attack. And it's interesting that his anxiety is literally so bad that the idea of taking his anxiety medication gives him anxiety. You know, like that's a very good way to portray the beginning of the movie, the fact that like something that's supposed to help him, he can't even do without it, like giving him an anxiety attack, literally. Yeah, so he tries to go to buy some water, but he doesn't have his keys, so he gets locked out of his apartment, and all of the scary hoodlums and his scary hoodlum neighbor, the vagrants, the criminals from the statistics, back in New Girl, baby, warrants. So, Beans, what are you looking for?
I don't know what you...
Did she drop her bone?
Obviously,
oh,
I think she did, yes.
Here you go, love. I got you your bone. Come back. Come on. I have your bone. There you go.
She needed proof.
Yeah. So basically he gets locked out of his apartment. The vagrants run in and they wreak havoc the whole night. And he sleeps outside.
So many things.
Yeah.
So
many nasty things. Watch the movie if you want to know. So Bo then returns the next day to his vandalized apartment and attempts to call his mom. But this is when plot twist number one. the UPS guy picks up the phone. The ups guy. Yeah, giving him some downer news that his mom died.
By a chandelier.
A chandelier crushed his mom's head and she died. So Bo is super shocked and freaks out. So basically he tries to take a bath to relax himself.
But before that, that was a very funny moment. He's like, maybe I have the wrong number.
Oh my God.
Call me back when, call his number back and just make sure you got the right one.
Yeah.
And he calls him back and the UPS guy's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. That was a good one. I liked that little titty bitty of a joke.
The UPS guy is Bill Hader.
I know, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I could tell.
Oh, yeah, oh, right, because he was shown in that
movie.
He's
very easy to recognize, yeah. He's funny, too. He's good. He's done all the funniness. So back to this bath I was discussing when Jonathan interrupted me. He's taking a bath and he finds an intruder alert. And so he runs out of his house naked and he gets hit by a food truck. There are other things that happen, but like too complicated to explain. So he gets hit by a food truck. So, Jonathan Pyle, I would consider this the end of chapter one.
There were almost like...
What do you think of chapter one?
Four chapters in this movie. Actually.
I know. I have little bits that I'm like, end of chapter. What do you think?
What do you think I meant?
So what do you think of this chapter?
He's very anxiety ridden and it's to the point where it's crippling and it just like spirals into nothingness.
No, okay. I know that. I meant like, you know, symbolism. How did you feel? Don't just tell me what it was. Great conversation.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think that they did a really good job introducing like his anxiety and like how he views the world like really well. And I think they also kind of eased you into the fact that like maybe these things that are happening are real and maybe it's really in his mind. And I think I like how they set up the movie showing him too. Like literally just in his daily life, like actively like trying to survive. He's not living, he's trying to survive. Yeah, so that's how I feel, and thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Aster described the movie as,
is this a fun fact?
Yeah, as, yeah, if you pumped a 10-year-old full of Zoloft and had him get your groceries.
What's Zoloft?
It's a kind of drug, right? Let me look it up. I actually don't even know.
Wait, I don't understand that. Who cares if a 10-year-old gets you groceries? You're just gonna end up with like pizza pockets. Tostitos.
I don't like Tostitos. And then he also says he wanted to put the audience in the experience of being a loser.
I don't think Bo was a loser. Bo was just like a random person.
Just a random guy that was struggling a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he was a loser. Is that the director saying these things?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a lovely man. Okay.
Yeah.
So, are you ready for the next chapter? Beans looks ready. So, Bo wakes up 2 days later after he's been hit by a food truck in the house of a married couple named Grace and Roger. So, they have a very interesting life. They seem like these sweet, sweet, super sweet people. And then you meet their daughter, Toni, and she's a total angsty, just shithead of a kid. And then you also meet Jeeves, who is a veteran living in their home, who served with their late son. What was his name?
Oh, I'm blanking.
I don't remember. But they have a son who passed away.
Scott?
In the army. I think Scott. Scott sounds right.
That sounds right.
I don't know. I'm just going to go with it. And his friend Jeeves served with him, but is like dealing with severe PTSD. So this is a house of Grace, Roger, interesting parents, Jeeves, a veteran, Toni, an angsty teen, and then Beau's thrown into the mix, being injured and just trying to get home for his mom's funeral. So, something interesting about this part that I didn't understand was that Bo had an ankle monitor on, even though they made it out like they were just trying to help him.
Either.
Like they weren't like the authorities or anything. So like, was he arrested? Was he on house arrest or something?
Well, I think they put that on him because of what you find out later in the movie.
What do you mean? What do I find out later in the movie that he needed a monitor? Oh, so they could track him if he runs away. But yeah. Why would they want to track him if he runs away? Like, why do they care?
So they could find him again?
Why do they need to find him again?
Because
he's some random guy they hit with his car. Like, nurse him back to health and let him go.
Because his mom hired them in the first place?
Oh.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense. His mom hired them to kidnap him so that he couldn't make it to her funeral, so that she could blame him for not making it to her funeral. I hadn't even pretty thought much, about that.
I thought that's what it was. Maybe. I could be wrong.
Wow. But yeah. That makes so much sense because mm-hmm. there, what's her name? Grace had actually shown Bo the fact that he was like being videoed on surveillance CCTV yeah. footage. And later in the movie, when Bo is with his mother in her home, there's a picture of him from the surveillance footage.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And I was so confused. But I think you just like hit the nail on the head.
Nail on the head.
Yeah, nail on the head. Keep going. I didn't even think about that. That's pretty smart.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Just got to hype him up when he has these good moments, you know?
There are a few and far between.
Yeah, so Bo calls his mom's attorney, who basically just chastises him and tells him that his mom is unable to rest because he is not home for her funeral and that he's a terrible son. So,
great thing you want to hear right where your mother dies.
I know, it's so sad. So Bo basically is trying to figure out how to get out of the house, and he wants to get to his mom's funeral, and they're basically just telling him, you can't leave, you're sick, or we can't drive you because we have work.
A surgery to do.
Surgeries. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. And so basically they put it off by a couple days. And then finally the day comes when they're going to take Bo. Tony has been tormenting Bo the whole time he's there. And finally, it comes to a climax when she tries to force him to drink paint with her to get high.
It's the weirdest freaking scene.
It is disgusting. I hated it. And then so she drinks paint and she dies. Don't understand it. It was actually really hard to watch, and I really hated this scene. My least favorite scene in the entire movie.
You could tell the body they used was a fake body.
Dead body?
Yeah, yeah. It was like just like a silicone fake body.
I've never seen a fake body, nor have I seen a real dead body, so I can't say to which would be more realistic.
Well, I have seen both.
Hopefully it wasn't a real body on set.
I hope not. They're not good. Getting fresh cadavers from my local yeah. source.
So Grace walks in on Bo standing over Tony's body because Tony is now dead because she drank paint. PSA, don't drink paint.
Sherwin Williams, paint the world.
Not your mouth. So Grace basically blames Bo for Tony's death. And she freaks out because she has now lost both of her children. And so she sends Jeeves, the veteran with PTSD.
Who's kind of like a nuthead.
Yeah, he's crazy. She sends him after Bo to try and murder him because he is supposedly, in her eyes, the person who killed her daughter. So, end of chapter. What did we think of this chapter?
This was the best chapter in the movie, I think. Most entertaining.
I think it was the most entertaining chapter as well.
Yeah.
The next one I did not really think was entertaining. I was very bored in this next chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. I think it was interesting that you think they hired them. I don't know why his mom would hire them to do that, but also none of the things his mom did make sense. So I guess it makes true. Sense that it doesn't make sense.
Well said.
Thank you.
So apparently...
Fun fact alert!
Fun fact. To promote this film, there were plans to show this film in place of a children's film to unsuspecting families in a cinema, as was done with Midsommar. However, no cinema has yet agreed to do that again.
They did that to kids?
I think so.
They showed Midsommar to kids?
I think so.
What is wrong with this guy? Who gives him money to make movies? That's actually not okay.
That's pretty, like, I gotta...
People pay money to go see movies, and you're gonna traumatize them?
I gotta see if that's actually true.
I bet you they just, like, released news stories that happened, and it's not actually true, because that's so messed up.
Okay, so in 2018, a movie in Australia, movie theater in Australia, accidentally played Hereditary trailer before a screening of the family movie Peter Rabbit.
Oh, so it was the movie theater. So they were going to try to do that again? Show the trailer or show the whole movie? Or was it just a joke because it happened in Australia?
It was a joke, but they did not intentionally show it to kids. I am wrong.
Okay, good, because that's just evil. You would have made me like hate that guy. Okay, interesting. So moving on to the next chapter. Are you ready for chapter 3 of the movie?
Oh, also, this might have...
He's not ready.
I'm not ready, obviously. This might have happened earlier, but as Bo is on his way home from picking up his medication... Yeah, this is the first chapter.
This was a very long time ago, yes.
Oops. I think
Hoops.
When I... Kobe. And checking his mom's messages, a boy is seen playing with a remote control motorboat, which capsizes. His mother then yanks him away. That foreshadows the conclusion.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it totally does. That's cool. We haven't gotten to the conclusion of the movie yet, so you probably should have saved that for the end because nobody knows what that means.
Well,
unless
I feel like
the movie.
People that watch this movie have most likely already... I've watched this podcast.
Well, I'm sorry. If somebody has already watched the movie, they have most likely watched the movie. That's so profound.
Watch the podcast of already seen the movie because this is spoiler-filled.
Spoiler-filled.
Full of
spoilers. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, though. It's a good little foreshadow. See, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, me either.
Okay, let's get to our least favorite chapter. I kept this one short and sweet because I did not enjoy
Thanks.
It. But it was not short and sweet in the movie.
It was long
and boring, so... Basically, Bo is running away from Grace's killer Jeez. Man, Jeeves, in the woods. And he comes upon a group of traveling theater actors. And they call themselves the Orphans of the Forest. And they tell him that they move all over the place. They accept misfits and they put on plays. Sounds like my
Dope.
Nightmare. I hate camping and I don't really love plays.
You don't love plays.
I don't have anything against plays. They just don't like strike my
I just
fancy.
Hate orphans.
You know, it's the orphans. Yeah, that's what it is. So basically they give him a drink to help him relax. And here's my theory that they gave him this drink and I think it was like a hallucinogenic. And that's what spawns. This entire chapter, in
yeah,
my opinion.
Yeah, his entire reimagining of the play with himself inserted into the main character.
Yeah, yeah. He's yeah. watching them perform the play, and he slightly relates to the guy's situation, and then he goes down this just deep dive, and it's like animated.
I did like the animation that was used. I think it was
cute animation.
Was
like
cool.
I enjoyed it.
Haven't seen that before.
And they had like a very, they did a great job picking the person to do the voiceover. And I recognized her voice, but I don't know who she was, but it was like when you have to do like those in college and probably other jobs and stuff, when you have to do those generic training videos where they're like, don't drink alcohol, you will die.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that's the exact voice they chose for it. So it was like very like, it felt like they were trying to like hypnotize you when you were like going to get sleepy
it's
from
very
the
dry.
Way that she was talking. Yeah. But it was too long in my opinion. And they kind of like looped it around in an interesting way, but I just didn't think it was that good. And I don't know. Like, I just feel like this chapter wasn't really interesting or necessary.
It definitely lost my attention. Also due to the fact that the two people in front of us were talking the entire time.
Oh my gosh. The two people in front of us at this point, like had enough. Also, they seemed like a young couple in love and they were just like,
They
weren't there for the movie. They were there to keep going and getting drinks and like, yeah, get your drinks, you know what I'm saying? But like stockpile at the start. Don't get up like 10 times to get your drinks. It was just a little annoying. They were not having a good time. And they ended up actually leaving early. They walked out. So this was probably a 1-star for them.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But overall, I thought this chapter was not interesting. And I think just the entire movie, there were a lot of moments where they would pause on a scene or like a shot like too long. To the point where I was like, this is supposed to be impactful, but it's just boring now that you've been sitting here on this shot too long.
Damn.
Like, what am I supposed to just be watching him think? I don't want to watch him think. I want to watch him do things. If I wanted to watch somebody think, I would just look at you.
I knew you were going to say that.
You think a lot.
I do.
You
I like
take your time.
To think before I speak.
True. You never really say anything that I feel like would be embarrassing, so it's probably doing the right thing.
Trying for the best,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you say things that could be taken as embarrassing, but you're not embarrassed by them.
Thank you.
You really thought about that.
I did have to. That was unintentional, honestly.
Just you being you.
Yep.
Yep. So basically, at the end of the play, Jeeves shows up and he tries to kill everybody and he kills himself.
The grenade goes off and freaking... It was brutal the way he died. He tripped on a stone and then...
But he shows up later in the movie, so it's like so confusing.
He
but
shoots himself.
He literally kills himself, yeah, on accident. And then Bo runs away into the woods and he's fine. So I hated that chapter. Chapter review, worst chapter of the movie. Really freaking boring. Straight up not having a good time. So now let's get to the last chapter. So Bo hitchhikes his way home. And I'm like, dude, that was so easy. Why didn't you just do that from the start?
Yeah, that was rather easy.
I mean, like, also, that. Like, don't do that. That's how people get murdered. But, like, in the movie, that seemed like it was his best option. And he should have just done it from the start if it was that easy. Like, he literally just made everything so much harder than it had to be. Woo! First yawn of the podcast. So, when he gets home, he finds out that he missed his mom's funeral by a couple of hours. They're literally cleaning up. And I feel like his mom planned that because they literally said, like, we are not going to have the funeral until you get here because you're such a disappointment. But that's what your mom wanted. And then the final, like, jab in his wound is like, oh, well, we just decided to hold the funeral without you right before you made it. Like, I think his mom was tracking him on the little ankle monitor and was like, he's going to make it home tomorrow. We're going to do the funeral tomorrow.
I agree.
Literally. So the house is pretty much empty except for the people who are cleaning up from the catering. And they show you a million pictures of him as a kid. And it makes it seem like his mom was like this doting mother who was just obsessed with him. And there's just all these cute, adorable photos of him and them having a great time. And then he walks up to his mom's open casket. And it's literally like a body in an open casket without a head.
No head.
I guess it was supposed to be a joke.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I guess. But
it's a really cool house, though. I liked the house design.
It
I
was know interesting.
Where that house was.
And it's like probably a real house. I wouldn't want to live there. I'm not a fan of like cement walls. You know what I mean? Can you put a command strip on a cement wall?
I don't listen. You're not a fan of walls?
Cement walls, specifically. I do like walls. So he's just hanging out there by himself, and then all of a sudden this woman shows up at the house, and it turns out that it's Elaine, his childhood love, and she's just late for the funeral, but it just works out perfectly that they're both there together and they save their virginities for each other. So these 40-year-olds then go have sex for the first time, and he is scared that he's gonna die, but turns out he survives orgasming. He doesn't die, but she dies. I don't understand this. I do not understand why she had to die. Why did she die? I feel like his mom like poisoned her, like made her die.
Like, yeah, how though?
To punish him or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's pretty funny though. Afterwards, he was like, oh, I thought I was going to die.
And then she was dead. Yeah.
I was like, what?
And then she like froze in place, which is not what happens when you die. Like, yeah, your body like hardens and freezes, but not like milliseconds after you die.
Yeah.
She was literally like.
Very unrealistic thing frozen about this movie.
It was really weird. And then the mom shows up, basically. She reveals herself in the hallway.
She was watching the whole time.
She wasn't actually dead. And she says she saw the whole thing. And she totally did it on purpose. And I wonder if she even like made sure Elaine would get there late on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like she did it all. It was a master plan.
Yeah, I don't know any deeper meaning, metaphorical understanding of her dying.
Oh, not of her dying. I don't either. But let me think about it, actually. So she died instead of him. Nope, no idea. So, but I do have another thing that I think would be symbolic of this moment. His mom, I feel like this was kind of representing the fact of like, even though maybe she was dead, she is always like in a dark corner of his mind, tormenting him and watching him.
That's good.
Like she was standing like in the dark hallway watching him, comes out to reveal herself just to tell him he's a trash kid. So basically, then you find out that his therapist actually works for his mom and has shared all of the sessions with her, which is first off extremely illegal.
Yeah. Client.
Patient confidentiality.
Privilege, yeah.
Yeah. Client privilege or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it was pretty big HIPAA violation, I would say. Maybe. I don't know. I actually don't know that much about HIPAA, but I'm assuming you're not allowed to tell people those things. So.
There are hippos in this movie? Sorry.
I just can't even imagine, though, like, trusting a therapist and, like, literally spilling your heart out to them and then finding out that, like, those conversations were not confidential. And I honestly feel like that was, like, if this movie wasn't real, like, if it was just him imagining these things, I can see how for somebody with, like, his level of anxiety, something that would torment him is the fact that maybe all of these things he's telling his therapist about his mom that are bad are things he's actually feeding to her's information. Like maybe that is just something that he is terrified of potentially happening, you know?
Yeah, that's really screwed up.
Yeah. And so then Beau gets into talking about a reoccurring dream he had had where he had a twin brother that his mom made go into the attic one night because he was being bad and disobeying her. And so Beau is like freaking out about it, telling this dream. And she's like, Beau, you're crazy. That actually happened. And she makes him go up in the attic. And there is another Beau, but with like a beard, chained to the wall. And I guess, well, according to Wikipedia, this is them showing him that he has a twin brother. And then there's also a giant penis. But first, let's talk about the brother before the penis. I feel like this was not actually his mom revealing that he had a twin brother. I think this was more of him like thinking about how no matter what he does or where he goes, he's always chained to his mom. Like he can't escape her.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what I think the symbolism was more. Or that's what I thought about it. I always hated it in English class. Like, and one of the reasons I hated English class was because of this. Like, I enjoy finding symbolism in things and like thinking about them deeply, whatever, schmover. I don't think I'm smart or come up with good things, but I enjoy doing it. And no matter what, whenever I was in English class, the symbolism that I would come up with or like see in something, the teacher would literally be like, no, that's wrong. This is what it is.
Or they'd say
like everything. And I was like, you are literally sitting here making me hate English because you tell me to analyze something and come up with symbolism. And it's not the one that you have written in your curriculum. So it's not valid. So now I literally have like this lifelong like anxiety about like, oh, whatever symbolism I see in something isn't right.
That sucks.
Because it never was in school.
Or they ask you to like go deeper with that. It's like, what does that mean? Like, I remember reading the poem, like, Oh, Captain, My Captain. And at the end of reading it, the teacher was like, so, class, what do you think that meant? And, like, most of the people said the Civil War. And I was like, how in the hell did y'all come to that conclusion? I was like, what?
It's so funny. Isn't there a meme where it's like, when everybody like answers something to a question
and you kind of like when you guessed Abraham Lincoln and the answer was 17.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how you remembered it exactly. That's how all of English class was for me. And that's why I didn't like it. They literally ruined it for me. So
well, you know, English. So
yeah. So here's something interesting I want to tell you, that Wikipedia said, and this is where I'm wavering a little bit on Wikipedia's factualness. They said that the giant penis in the corner was his father.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's what you thought on your own?
Yeah.
Why did you think that?
Because, like, I don't know, it just makes sense.
What? How does that make sense?
Because, like, I can't even explain it. I didn't get that after the movie.
I'm like, so confused. I do not understand how you saw that.
I don't even know. Let me do some research.
Wait, are you sure you thought that or did you read it online?
Maybe I read it online.
So you didn't actually. So you got sucked in by Wikipedia. Okay, I do not understand how the penis is his father. I don't believe it. I'm calling BS. So. Yeah.
Oh, and then Jeeves comes back and just destroys the penis.
Yeah. There's just the way that you delivered that. It's just gold. Yeah. Well, that's that. So then he goes downstairs and he strangles his mother to death, as one does when they find out that their father is giant penis.
Kill him.
And
she doesn't kill her.
Yeah, he does. He strangles her to death. He strangles her, and then she falls into the glass aquarium.
The terrarium thing.
Mm, the glass terrarium, yeah.
As you do.
As one does.
Maybe I didn't know that. Maybe I just read that and thought I knew that mm-hmm. the penis was his dad. Anyway.
Well,
the original movie was 4 hours long.
What? The director's cut?
Yeah.
How long was this one? Because it was too long.
This was 3 hours.
Oh, they did not have a good reason.
They could have cut out, like, 35 minutes at least.
Well, they could have cut out everything because honestly nothing was that important to the story. It was just like a lot of stuff. It was just stuff happening basically. So basically to conclude the movie, this last chapter, well, do you have any thoughts of the chapter previously? His mom sucks.
The actress Patti LuPone was great. She did a fantastic job.
She did very, very good. And they did a good job, like, casting old Mona and young Mona.
Yeah.
Like, they
looked alike.
Paired with each other very well. And I think it was basically just them showing that she thinks he's not a good enough son for her. And he thinks she's not a good enough mom for him. So, yeah,
at least the feeling's mutual.
Yeah. So in shock after his mother's death, Bo leaves and he finds a boat outside on the shore, and he just goes into the ocean in it and enters a cave. And once he's in the cave, the boat's motor starts to like go crazy. And suddenly he looks up and he sees that he's in the middle of like an arena, and he is on trial by his mother and Dr. Cohen, acting as a prosecutor on the podium.
Yeah, and his defense is like, he doesn't even have a defense. It's like 1-800-DEFENSE, and
it's like some little guy in the distance.
You can't even hear him.
He doesn't have a mic. It shows like he has no voice. Like, no matter what he says or does, like, nobody will listen and nobody cares.
And
like,
he falls to his death.
He can't defend himself. He feels like he's never been able to defend himself. And then somebody kills his attorney, yeah.
In a very Midsommar-like way, too.
Yeah, it was not enjoyable to watch. So, they basically have like a jumbotron where they're displaying like all of the terrible, terrible things that Bo did as a kid. And his mom's just like extremely upset. And then Bo tries to fend for himself, and he discovers that his feet are glued to the boat, and he basically just gives up.
And oh, that's what, his feet are glued to his feet boat. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's like he's stuck to the boat, you know what I mean, like his life, and the motor is just like going crazy, like it's basically like he's reached his breaking point and he just gives up, and the boat explodes and capsizes and Bo dies, and then that's the end of the movie.
That's it.
Yeah, so like there was definitely a lot of symbolism in that, like feeling like his whole life is on display and he can't defend himself and he's reached his breaking point and he dies. So yeah, that's that.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix had sharpened pins installed in his bandaged hand to poke him painfully if he used it. To also simulate the torso injuries, he had paper binding clips clamped to his stomach to help facilitate a realistic limp.
That's awful. Oh my gosh. He is so dedicated to it.
He's committed. I'm excited for Joker 2.
Oh, they're making a Joker 2?
Yeah, with Lady Gaga.
I'm kind of scared of that. Oh my God, I'm really excited. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I wasn't excited until you told me Lady Gaga was in it. It's
supposed to be like a musical.
When does it come out?
2024.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Did you have any other factoids you wanted to lay on us? I'm sorry, guys, that I couldn't, you know, think of any more symbolism, because I know there was a lot, but to be honest, I think this movie kind of had its head up its ass, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like,
yeah,
it was just like doing all this crap and overthought, but too much, and just not really it.
One thing for sure, Ari Aster is a really weird mind, and I hope his relationship with his mom is okay.
Yep. Well, do you want to tell everybody what the movie is for next week that we already saw because we were really excited about it?
Yeah, it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians. Okay, I'm like really hungry, so we're going to go make dinner.
Bye.
Bye.